Today's words of wisdom, One with the Father, will be presented in Malay and English with subtitles in Arabic, Alasis or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Urdu, and Turkish. Malaysia memang sebuah negara yang indah. Negara ini dikuniai banyak bukit dan gunung yang ditumbuhi hutan tebal. Kawasan pantai yang dipinggiri pokok-pokok palma dengan air laut yang kehijauan dan cahaya matahari yang keemasan serta lagun air tawar. Tarikan utama Malaysia adalah dari pencakar langit yang mencual tinggi. Dapat dilihat rumah papan yang dibina di atas kaki pajang. Budaya majmuk, keajaiban alam semula jadi, bandar raya yang besar dan banyak pulau yang indah permai ialah keistimewaan negara yang indah ini. Penduduk Malaysia kebanyakannya ialah orang Melayu, diikuti oleh orang Cina dan India. Budaya majmuk telah banyak mempengaruhi seni bina dan budaya negara ini, dicerminkan menerusi kaum dan warisan yang pelbagai. Banyak tokoh yang berani dan mulia adalah berasal dari Malaysia. Pada November 2006, Datuk Muhammad bin Ismail telah dianugerahi Hadiah Kedamaian Gusi untuk hal ehwal keagamaan dan kemanusiaan. Dan bekas Perdana Menteri Tun Dr. Mahathir bin Mohamad telah dicalonkan untuk Hadiah Kedamaian Nobel 2007. Disebabkan oleh kegairahan orang yang ingin mendapat makrifat, Mahaguru Ching Hai telah menerima undangan mereka yang ikhlas dan berkunjung ke Malaysia untuk beberapa kali. Sekarang kami menjemput anda untuk mengikuti syarahan berikut yang penuh dengan kebijaksanaan oleh Mahaguru Ching Hai bertajuk Bersatu Dengan Tuhan yang diberikan pada 24 Februari 1992 di Malaysia.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
One night, I drank Saw Buddha myself.
Yes.
It was brilliant. Like a big house. Before
then it's
and
right.
The two rows all are, you call disciples, thousands of disciples.
Yes.
Well, Buddha waved to me and asked me to come forward.
Yes.
I went forward. I was scared because of the size I saw.
Yeah, so huge.
Yeah. I went down.
Yeah.
I took a bath. The voice came down and told me that if you are alive, come out from this well, the form of the well, you will survive. Inside there, there are devil creatures or whatever that was. So after bath, I came out. I was alive. And then came in the disciple. It's sort of a
rope
on me.
Shave the head. Yes.
Well, I completely recovered.
Meaning you have to become a monk. You're supposed to become monk this life, but you have done it in a dream, so it's finished.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He also had a dream of Jesus.
Yes, that means Jesus, Buddha, all of you.
That was when I was 8 years old.
Yes.
I got a high fever, something like about 105.
Wow.
Almost lost consciousness.
Almost gone, yeah.
I saw it in a cloud.
Yes.
And I saw the table there. They stood there.
Yeah.
And we're going to wait. They say you're so light, you go home.
Oh.
We walk into the crowd and then there you are alive. Until the latest, only 50 plus years, then I saw Buddha.
Oh.
I thank most mighty. Buddha, how do I thank?
have to pray through two gods to crown it.
Also pray Buddha also.
Yes, yes, why not? They are both Buddhas.
I see.
I show you they are both enlightened Buddhas, enlightened sons of God.
Madam, I will call you to pray
to Jesus. Pray to both, how about that? Yes, yes. They both came to you, just show you that they are united. They are all the same. That's the meaning of that. To show you that whatever the teacher teach you, that Buddhism or
Christianity are similar, are the same, then you should accept. That is the meaning of your dream. That's why Buddha and Jesus both appear to you. And you're so blessed and recovered from your illness. Yeah, that's a good omen. If you like to continue to be a Christian, then you go to the church and pray, yeah? If you like to be Buddhist, then you go to the temple and pray. And if you like to be both, then you take turn to go to the church and the temple. If you want a good mixture of both, then you can practice Kuan Yin method with us, okay? If you like to go to see Jesus, I know where he is. If you like to go to see Buddha, I also know where he is. If you like to see both, I can take you to both places. And if you like to see the Father is where Jesus and Buddha are there.
When you die, the last hour,
yes.
Which area we should go to? Christianity or the Buddhism?
Yeah.
Somebody must do for us.
Oh, you mean the ceremony? The funeral service? Oh, well, that's the trouble.
That's why the trouble.
Wow, let me think. Yes. Wow, that's complicated. Nobody ever saw such ceremony before. Trouble, huh? How about this? You take turn. One day Buddhist ceremony, and next day Christian ceremony. Look here, we practitioners of Kuan Yin method, we don't worry about this. Because we know Jesus, Buddhas, they're all with the Father. So when we go to the Father, we see them both. And we don't make a lot of fuss about funeral service anymore. Because we see before we go where we go. We don't need anybody to pray for us. If we do, then we need our true practitioners come and just sit and meditate.
Pray for us. Give us some extra energy to push us higher into the house of God. And that's all. And we don't make a lot of arrangement. We don't make noise. We don't pray very loud. We just pray inside. And the Father knows. Because in the Bible it is said that
when you pray in the closet. In the secret chamber, and then your Father who is in heaven will know. The secret chamber is inside. You pray in the closet, it's inside. It doesn't mean you tell you to go into your closet and close inside. No, the closet, I mean the secret place. You pray, that's what we pray. We pray in the closet, and our Father knows. And we know He knows, because we contact Him each day. And we feel surely that He is there at the time of our arrival or our departure from this world. Yes. So we don't pray the way most of the people do. We could do that too, but we know by seeing, by realizing inside. Yeah? So you ask me this question, I can only give you this solution. Take turn. One day Buddhist funeral service, next day Christian, or vice versa, yeah? For us, we save this problem. We save flowers and incense and all that, and meat and all kind of things. We just pray silently.
When we talk about God, is there a form?
No, there is not.
But then in the Bible, it was said that we are created in the form of a
God. Of God, yes.
So why is it? Is the Bible wrong?
No, it isn't. There is form, but not the way we form. For example, God may not be the way we think He is. He creates us in His image. It means we are the light, we are the power, we are the wisdom, we are love. We are almighty, just like God.
So is He in the light form?
Yes, if you want to see God, you must see light only. Because in the Bible, it is also mentioned that when God appeared to Moses, right? He looked like a flame, no? Yes. Now you understand what I mean? Yes. The form of God is not our ordinary so-called imagination of form. His beauty, His glory, His love.
When you say you have meet or maybe feel Him, you know, what do you feel?
You know, when you met your lover, how do you feel? When you truly meet a lover, your heart melts, right? And you feel very beautiful and exalted. That's how you felt when you met God. But it is 100,000 million more compared to that. Okay? The moment of your most happiness in this world, and you trillion million more times than that, the intensity, then you know how you feel when you see God. That's why everybody wants to practice. Everybody wants to see God because they know this is so excellent, so beautiful. That's why all the lover of God, they never want to leave practicing. You see? It's just like when you meet a true lover of your heart, you don't want to leave her. And you feel good when you're with her. It doesn't matter what happens, you just don't want to leave that person. Okay? Right?
When you talk of this meditation, how long actually do you have to take? Or have you to practice?
Every day we must meditate. This is the food for our soul.
How long is it supposed to take?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours?
Yeah. But you can increase that daily by, you know, habit. Maybe you couldn't do that in the beginning. So you may make 1 hour. But not necessarily at one stretch. You can do it partially. I mean, half an hour here, half an hour there is okay. But after you practice a very long time, or for some time, you become so used to it. And also you will be in samadhi, like a deep, blissful state, and you don't come out. Sometimes 6 hours gone and you don't even know.
Have you to learn the art of meditation?
We all know how to meditate, just we forgot. So I will remind you.
What is in your mind supposed to think during the meditation?
Nothing.
Nothing. Free.
Just sit quiet.
But I tell you more detail. Don't just hear like that and go home and sit and make trouble for yourself. Okay. If you want to learn, then learn properly. Yes. I will take time to teach you if you want to take time to learn. It takes at least a few hours. Yeah, to explain everything. Otherwise, if you just listen to one sentence, sit quiet. You just sit quiet. You cannot get quiet. And you get into trouble. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
After tomorrow, we have initiation. Then if you want to learn the full course, and you may apply. But you need to be vegetarian from now on. If you haven't been already, you clean the cup in order to put good drink inside. If the cup is not clean, the drink might get spoiled, yes. And then you won't get a good drink, you might poison. That's why many people are getting into mentally disturbed, because they don't know the proper way to approach God. Yes. We have to purify ourselves in action, in speech, and in thought in order to get near God. And if you want to learn just for experience, then my disciple can just tell you, and it's faster, yes. You can come here anytime, and they'll teach you how to meditate. Take some time to know everything so that you will not have trouble. Not that the enlightenment takes so long, but you must know a lot of information because the road to heaven is long. You have to go every day, and each day you inch further into the kingdom of God. You cannot just know a little bit, and then when you run into trouble, you don't know how to take care of yourself. Therefore, we must be responsible. If we teach you, must be fully, yes, and also take care of you invisibly. Otherwise, when you run into devil's tricks or something like that, who protect you? That is no good, okay? It doesn't involve much, just we take time to explain to you the road ahead. when you run into trouble, what you see, how do you react with it, and how you absorb. What kind of light is light of God? What kind of sound is God's sound? What kind is not? How, what to avoid and what to pay attention to? The initiation doesn't mean the official ceremony. It is the inner transmission, but the outer instruction is necessary for your further practice, because you don't practice only one day, and you don't progress up to here only. You will go further, 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 and then we have to kind of explain to you the basic information. Yeah, that's all. That's why it takes some time. Yeah, not that the enlightenment very fast. When you got initiation, shoop. Just like you plug in, then you have the light. Okay.
Master, you did mention that we created ourselves, but according to the Bible, God created man.
Yes. Right. But God is who? Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within you? So you are God, no? But you don't know it yet until you realize Him, until you become one with the Father, and then you can exclaim, I and my Father are one. That means you are God. In the Bible say many things, not only one thing. So I say different things to you, because I say it ends a different level, a different question. But it's all in the Bible. I didn't go out of it. Yeah? If you are the temple of God, and God dwells within you, and who else but God is here? If the Bible say that God dwells within you, then it's not we, it is God.
Master, you say that you are the temple of God, okay? Then that means, can I say that we are part of God? That means some sort like God is one unit and we are separated, you know, into many units. God is the big unit and we are the small unit. Can I say that?
Some people say that, but it is also true. As long as we are not one with the Father, as long we have not yet get enlightenment and ascend to the position of the Son of God, like Jesus did. Once we have ascended to that position, we can claim we are one with the Father, then we are whole with God. We're one with God, not apart. At the moment, we are apart, because we know we are apart. We think that we are apart, and we don't know anything better than to be apart from God. But later, when we practice, like we practice, and we know we are one with the Father. That's why when Jesus was alive, He said, I'm the Son of God. I and my Father are one. People cannot believe Him. You blasphemy. You disgrace God. How dare you say you and God are one? But that's His level. That's how He knows. But we don't know that. That's why we are not Jesus. That's why we worship Him. Because He attained that level and we didn't. But we can do that, because Jesus promised, whatever I do, you can do. You can do even better. He said, no? And He said, everyone are the children of God. He didn't say He's alone, He's the Son of God.
Master, I feel that that's the difference between Jesus and us, is that Jesus was never separated from God, but He is separated. So that's why they say that Jesus is the begotten Son of God.
Okay, yeah. That I believe, that I understand what you mean. Before Jesus got enlightenment, He did not claim Himself to be the Son of God. He only claimed that after He sits in meditation 40 days in the desert. Then He got enlightenment. Then He realized what He is. Before that, He was ordinary like us. He did not know that He was the Son of God. No? He did not preach before that 3.5 years. He did not claim Himself anything.
But according to the Bible, is that Jesus was, before He was born, He was God. You see, when He was born, He was God, and forever, and after that, He was God. That means He was always God, you see. But according to my Master, you have said that, it means He was, after He practiced, only He became God, you see.
No, He was always the Son of God. He was always with God, but He did not know until He got enlightenment. The same like us. We were always with God. And you would not believe me now if I say you are always with God, and God dwells within you. You, God, my God, same thing. You and my level the same. We are equal. But you would never believe me, because our viewpoints are different. Our understanding are different. But it is true that we are the sons of God, that we and God are one. I can only say that to you. That is the truth, 100%. But until you realize it yourself, it is difficult to believe me. Just like difficult to believe Jesus when he was alive, when he assured his disciple that whatever I do, you can do. Yes? And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Yes? Whoever believes me will go to the Father. We never walk in darkness. Yes? But even then, to believe when he was alive, yes, and to walk the way he walked, then means to believe him. Yeah? Otherwise, everybody believes him now, but not everyone goes to the Father. Nobody came back and tell you that he came to the Father. But our disciple can come back to you every day and say, I have just been with the Father. I have seen God face to face, thing like that, okay? So we cannot believe the dead, we can only believe the living. We can only have proof now. It's difficult to have proof 2,000 years before.
Master, may I permit to ask you, how did you become historical background today?
How did I become today? I practice Kuan Yin method.
What led you to practice
it? I searched. I wanted to be one with God. I want to know what the Buddha is. I want to know why the Buddha can become Buddha and I cannot. What's the difference? I searched from one master to another, I searched from one temple to another church, and I searched everywhere. Until finally I found one. I found the right place. Yes. Just like you are searching now, maybe you have been to many churches before, many temples or many other so-called master or real master, but you were not satisfied. And then one day maybe you find somebody that you like, you think he talks the truth. You want to learn. Like that. Yeah? Mm.
Yeah, yes. I was going to ask you, God is so pure, we still commit sins, how can God dwell within us?
Yes.
Because if God dwell within us, definitely there's no more sin.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the paradoxical thing that the Bible says. On the one hand say we are so sinful and we are so bad, on the other hand say God dwells within us. So I would advise you to come directly to him and ask him why. We are not sinful. We were originally not sinful, and we never are. It's just that our experiences in life, our interaction with other species of life, make us react in different ways according to circumstances and according to our judgment at that time, whether misjudgment or good judgment. And then accordingly, we feel, oh, we have done that badly, we have done wrong. And then we say we sinned. And when accordingly we thought we have done that very well, very good, we think, oh, we have merit. Maybe according to God, both are merits or both are sinful. We can only know when we know God. And once we know God, we see differently because we see with the eyes of God, with the eye of indiscrimination, with the eyes of love and understanding.
You mean to say that there is no evil spirit? Because, evil spirit is sin, which is actually, to you, is illusion.
Yes. There is evil spirit, but they are also illusion. Therefore, no sin, because sins are all illusions. But as long as we live in this world, we cannot say, this is all illusion, so I can do what I want. Because we still have a bad conscience out of it. We have guilty feeling. And anyhow, even if we live in an illusionary world, we should behave also accordingly. Why should we kill someone else? Because we know it is illusion. He doesn't know it. He will suffer. Therefore, we have to spare other people's feeling, other beings' feeling, even though we know it's all illusion. Yes? And avoid evil and do good, because it's good for other people. We have to live together, whether you are enlightened or not. Understand?
Yes, thank you.
Just like you are a father, right? You have children?
Yes.
Yes, okay. When your children play with toys, you will not scold them and break their toys into pieces because these are nonsense. They are toys. They are plastic. They are childish. You even play with them and say, wow, this car is beautiful, fast, no? It's a small plastic car. And you run, vroom, vroom, and you say, wow, it's beautiful, fast. You and I raced together, and the children were happy. All the while you know these are children game, but you don't criticize. You behave accordingly when you play with your children. Are you satisfied?
Yes, I'm satisfied, yes.
The condition for taking the initiation maybe that sounds very strict for other people.
Yes.
For people who cannot follow 100%, maybe 50% or 60%, can they take up the initiation?
Oh, yeah. 50% initiation, okay? And get 50% enlightenment, all right? And stay in the 50% of God's house. Okay, 50% of the time you go to hell and 50% of the time you go to heaven. Is it okay? Make the deal with you. When we do want to do something, we do it completely and wholeheartedly. Otherwise, we will not get successful, even in business. Yes? When you want to learn English, you obey all the grammatic rules the teacher have teach you. Otherwise, you speak broken English. And it's also a waste of time to learn the same time, same hours, and you don't respect the rules of grammar. So why learn English at all?
7.5 hours of meditation every day without fail.
Well, you try your best in our form, we say, try your best. What I mean is you must not cheat yourself, not the teacher, yes. I will not be there to tell you whether you fail in meditation or not, but you are there. And if you learn in any kind of things, you must put in effort and the proper time, yes? We learn English, will take a few months, few years, and every day we have to learn how much. Then if we want to learn to be near God, you must also put in effort. 24 hours God give us, we put in only 2.5 hours for Him. And we think it's too much. And when you work only for the body, this body is ephemeral. One day you have it, tomorrow you don't. And you have to put in 8 hours, 10 hours per day to close it, to fit it. And then when you put only 2.5 hours for God, I don't think it's too much a bargain, no? When we think about it, we want to go to heaven. It's a difficult job. It's a long road. It's a long way. And 2.5 hours is too little for eternal life. And 8 hours for ephemeral life. Think about it. It's logic.
Yeah. If we compare Christian and Buddhist, why Christian so easy, and then why Buddhist we need to go through so many difficult way, you know, like Guan Yin method, all these are so difficult things, you know, we compare both, I mean it's almost come up, at the end result is the same.
Right, if we get the same at all. Look, I am not Buddhist alone, I am also Christian. It is because I was born in the Buddhist tradition and I was following Buddhist kind of way of life. It doesn't mean I'm Buddhist, because a true Christian life should also be like this. It's just we have separated Buddhism, Christianity, and we make confusion. I have explained in the lecture that Christ means Buddha in Hebrew, and Buddha means Christ in Sanskrit, in Indian language. Just like guru means master in English, and English master means guru in Indian language, okay? Fine. Now, the way of eternal life is we have to respect life. If we cut any kind of life, we cut our own life, a part or a whole. So if we want eternal life, we must respect life. That's why we eat vegetarian. In the Bible, it says all the time, you don't read, that's all. He say, God say, who tell you to kill all these she-goats or this he-buffalo to make offering to me? You must repent this sin. Otherwise, I never listen to your prayers because your hands are full of innocent blood. And in one place, he killed all the people because they request him to give them meat instead of manna. He always feed them manna in the desert. And one day they say, why don't you give us meat? And then he gave meat, but then he killed them all. Remember? Why? And he said, don't mix with the wine drinker and the meat eater. No? In the Bible, say not? Yes. Don't say I'm Buddhist. And don't say that the Buddhist way of life is different than the Christianity. No different. It's just some of us don't live a true Christian life and Buddhist life. Therefore, we think this is different. For me, I'm a true Christian. I'm a true Buddhist. And to any other religions you name. And when you study truly the Bible, is this the same thing?
Vegetarianism in religion.
The Baha'i Faith. Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that, in the beginning of creation, God determined the food of every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. Selections from the Baha'i Writings of Some Aspects of Health and Healing.
Buddhism. All meats eaten by living beings are of their own relatives. Lankavatara Sutra. Also, after the birth of the baby, care must be exercised not to kill any animal in order to feed the mother with meaty delicacies, and not to assemble many relatives to drink liquor or to eat meat, because at the difficult time of birth, there are innumerable evil demons, monsters, and goblins who want to consume the smelly blood. By ignorantly and adversely resorting to the killing of animals for consumption, they bring down curses upon themselves, which are detrimental to both the mother and the baby. Kasithigarbha Sutra. Be careful during the days immediately after someone's death, not killing or destroying, or creating evil karma by worshipping or offering sacrifice to demons and deities, because such killing and slaughtering committed, or such worship performed, or such sacrifice offered, would not have even an iota of force to benefit the dead, but would entwine even more sinful karma into previous karma, making it even deeper and more serious. Thus, delay his rebirth to a good state. Karma means retribution. Kasithigarbha Sutra.
Gaudai. The most important thing is to stop killing, because animals also have souls and understand like humans. If we kill and eat them, then we owe them a blood debt. Teachings of the Saints.
Christianity. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Holy Bible.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Holy Bible.
Confucianism. All men have a mind which cannot bear to see the sufferings of others. The superior man, having seen the animals alive, cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cries, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. Mencius. Essenes.
I am come to end the sacrifices and feasts of blood, and if ye cease not offering and eating of flesh and blood, the wrath of God shall not cease from you. Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
Hinduism. Since you cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Adilila.
He who desires to augment his own flesh by eating the flesh of other creatures lives in misery in whatever species he may take his birth. Mahabharata anew.
Islam. Allah will not give mercy to anyone except those who give mercy to other creatures. Hadith.
Do not allow your stomachs to become graveyards of animals. Hadith.
Jainism. A true monk should not accept such food and drink as has been specially prepared for him involving the slaughter of living beings. Sutrakatanga.
Judaism. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Holy Bible. Blood meaning flesh.
Sikhism. Those mortals who consume marijuana, flesh, and wine, no matter what pilgrimages, fasts, and rituals they follow, they will all go to hell. Guru Granth Sahib.
Taoism. Do not go into the mountain to catch birds and nets, nor to the water to poison fishes and minnows. Do not butcher the ox that plows your field. Tract of the Quiet Way.
Tibetan Buddhism. The offering to the deities of meat obtained by killing animate beings is like offering a mother the flesh of her own child, and this is a grievous failure, the supreme path of discipleship.
Zoroastrianism. Those plants, I, Ahura Mazda, or God, rain down upon the earth to bring food to the faithful and fodder to the beneficent cow. Avesta.
And now, it's not the Buddhist way of life that's doing this. It's a way of enlightenment. It's the way of bodhisattva, the way of sainthood. If you want to be a human being all the time, then you stay the way you are. Yeah, making money, bear children, and live in this world, life after life, life after life. If you're satisfied with it, okay. If you want to go back to the Father, then I offer you the way of the true Christian and the true Buddhist. That is all. You choose where you want to go and what you want to do, okay?
When I'm listening to these talks of yours, I agree with your talks, I like it, but I still have one question, which is this. If I want to get this kind of a level, then I have the impression that I have to become a nun, sort of.
No way.
Because when I've learned about Buddhism, I have no strong religion background, so I keep on learning and searching. And what was my impression is that the old people who are very spiritual, they don't lead very
secular life.
And which includes also the continuing of love, which means children. Because if you want to get to the spiritual level of life, then you give up all the ordinary way of life. Mm-hmm. And for me, that means you get maybe a spiritual level of life. But then behind, if everyone gets to this level, there is no life behind. I mean, maybe I'm not thinking in the right way, but if you don't have children, then the life can go on. And I mean, spiritually, yes, but we need the body to continue spiritual life. I don't know.
You mean if you have children, you live a secular life, you could not reach a higher level of consciousness?
Yes, because if you have children, then you have to lay the...
Take care of them?
Yes.
And be burdened by them, is that right? Is that what you meant?
Yes, you can't totally...
free.
Yeah,
free.
Lead a spiritual life. Mm. That's my impression when I'm listening to... Like Buddha, he left the family and he became enlightened. So it means he left behind the children and the wife. But he had the children before.
Understand.
So after that, no more. He never had a wife or children.
Sure.
So my question is it possible to continue life?
Yes.
And at the same time
get enlightenment.
Get
and practice.
Yeah,
it is possible. But of course, you have to minimize the secular desires and the less ties possible. But not everyone can leave their children and go to become a monk. They can become a monk in their heart. If they keep the precepts and they look upon their wife and children as other fellow practitioners or other Buddha's children, and it's his duty to take care of Buddha's children or God's children. Just like you become a nun and then you might be working in a charitable work and you take care of other people. You have ties, but you have detachment. You have families, but you dedicate yourself and the whole family in the care of God. And you are a caretaker of this family for God's sake. That's also renunciation. It is difficult to renounce that way than to shave your head and go hide yourself in the temple. But if they can do that, they are true saints. To live in the mud but not be contaminated by it, like lotus flower, that happened. One of the greatest bodhisattva when the Buddha was alive, Vimalakirti, yes, he was a household. He has richness, he has wife, he has children, he has friends, he has everything, but he has also enlightenment. He was even exceeding many of the monks. They all fear him because he was so wise and so eloquent. They dare not come to see him. Okay? So we cannot say whether you have become monk then you can get enlightenment or not. It depends on you. How you look at life. You detach. You live in the world, but you're not with the world. That happened. all according to the mind. You see, after the Buddha has become enlightened, he even took his son to him, no? His son, Rahula, always with him. And his wife, after also became nun, also she's around. Around, but not around. Yes? They are not having kind of a physical relationship, but they still have love, still have responsibility for the child. So why not? You can stay in the world in this way, and you can take care of your responsibility and national responsibility, but you are detached from it. It's duty, whether to a nation or to a family. Cannot throw it out. Who take care of your children if you throw them? And if you happen not to have one, and you don't want one, it's okay. But if you already have, you should take care, if it is the situation in that way. Of course, if somebody else likes to take care of your children, and you feel good that way, the children feel good that way, you may arrange it that way, but each one is different. Children are no bar to spiritual attainment. Family life are no obstacle, as long as you know the only duty and love. If you can love all the human beings, and you practice supposed to have love, to have more love, then why could not you love your family, which is even more immediate and more necessary? Our heart is large. We love everyone, including our family. It's no need to throw them out. After enlightenment, either way is good. But the enlightened people, they're not very much indulged in a kind of physical contact. But should your wife or husband is still not up to that level, then you can both slowly adjust and try to avoid whenever possible, just so that you can have more time, more energy, and more concentration for the spiritual attainment. That is all, okay? But when you become a monk, it's not necessary that you always think on spiritual subject. I tell you the truth. Other people will come and bother you. Everybody come ask you questions. And then you worry again, just like everything else. So you choose what you think is best.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Terima kasih bersama kami dalam kata-kata hikmat. Bersamalah kami pada hari Jumaat untuk bahagian kedua bersatu dengan Tuhan. Seterusnya ialah modal kejayaan, sejurus selepas berita yang wajar diberi perhatian. Sila teruskan bersama Supreme Master Television. Semoga anda dilimpahi rahmat Tuhan. Thank you for joining us on Words of Wisdom. Please tune in Friday for part 2 of One with the Father. Up next is Models of Success, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. May your spirit be light and bright with God's blessings and grace.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.